you know why so many people are injured so easily spiritually? It's because they just dry. They don't have any word. You know what? What is moisture? The Bible says that the word is like water. Jesus said, come to me and you'll never what? Thirst again. And so the reason why people get so easily broken, easily fractured, easily offended about any little thing is because they are dry in the marrow, in the bone. Amen. And so you need to get some word so you won't be offended when things happen, because you know what Jesus said. He said that woe unto them that bring forth the offense, because they're going to happen. He tells us not only that, he said, but they're going to hate you because the world hated what? Me first. Y'all still with me here? He also tells us, he said, but I'm going and I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. And that's what we need, is the Holy Ghost. Come on and say hallelujah. And so what he's trying to tell us here is that if we just connect with him and get the word of God, it's going to be strength to our bones. It's going to help us to not easily be broken when the enemy comes in like a flood. The Spirit of God will lift up a standard. Even if they come in and he said, if those things arise and come in, he said, there are many things that are going to come against us, but the Lord will make sure that we make it. Come on and say amen now. He even tells us, he allows us to see that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And if I know that, then I'm not easily fractured or broken. I can still walk.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
I want to continue a message I started on Monday morning and then went into Wednesday for Bible study, and I'm going to conclude it, if the Lord willing, at this service. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14, the scripture reference that was read in our devotional. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14. When you have it, say amen. Amen. All right. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. More got it now. All right. Begin reading now. All right, simple. Let all your things be done with charity. With charity. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, do everything in love. Do everything in love. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, what a word of admonishment to us to do everything in love, because it represents the highest level of God's integrity and his character and his desire for his people to be like him. When we do everything in love, no doubt it will be inclusive of the word of God, the will of God, and the way of God. If we learn that God's way is the best way, even though sometimes we think we know what's best for us, and sometimes we think we've been here a while, and so because we've been a while, we know the ropes or we know the road. And sometimes we miss the mark because we try to do it within the limitations of our love. Now, one of the things I want to make clear first as we start this word out is Paul is writing this letter to the church at Corinth. And he's sharing this because there are a group of men who have demonstrated the ability to go beyond the natural and the norm, and they've delved in the supernatural and they've delved in the extraordinary as related to the work in the kingdom. Stephanas was the first fruit of the church of Corinth. Paul is excited because this man caught on fire and he started burning everything else up. He was so excited about Christ and the work of Christ and all that entailed what we as Christians should represent, that his work beyond that of the natural work, others have worked in the church, others do work in the church, but there is a major difference between those who work in the church and toil in the church. And he was one that toiled. He went beyond what was asked of him, required of him. And so he had no position in the church at this time. But because of the faithfulness of his service and the love he had demonstrated and all that he had toiled in, he filled in the gaps for Paul in his absence in Corinth, allowing him to know what was going on, what was the progress of the church, doing his best, reaching out, saving others, helping others. He was determined to do his part and all else above it. And so there are a few other names Paul names in these continuing verses. He not only deals with Stephanas, but he deals with Fortunatus and Archaicus. Fortunatus and Archaicus. And then a few more verses down, he brings up greetings from Aquila and Priscilla. And so he's really dealing with these people who have helped make a mark on the New Testament church. My brothers and sisters, when you go beyond that's required of you, when you do that is above that's asked of you, it always draws attention both from heaven and from earth. You don't have to ask nobody, how did you do? Pat you on the back, tell you how you did. When you do it in love, listen, God is going to fill you with everything necessary to impact and touch hearts and lives like never before. Now listen, I'm halfway through now. I want to go back to this reference here, that King James 16th chapter and the 14th verse reads. Would you read that 14th verse again for me, please? Let all things be done with charity. With charity. Now, the ESV version renders, let all that you do be done in love. The word charity is the same word love here that is broken down in the ESV, and it's talking about the agape love. It is talking about that endless love, that in-depth love that is so great, so deep, that it cannot be fathomed, that love that can only give to us everything we need in every situation to come out successful in. And so here I want you to notice the preposition in the King James and the preposition in the ESV. The preposition in the King James says, with love, with love. Now, here's what it means: to accompany or in relation to, with, to accompany or in relation to, with love. In other words, something got to go along with the love that you operating out of King James Version. But notice the ESV version uses the preposition in. Listen. That's inclusive and inside. Now, here's what I need you to see. That when you are loving in Christ Jesus and in the love that he provides, it is an endless supply of love. How many of us know that our love has limitations on it? But if you don't think so, have you ever gotten mad? Have you ever gotten upset? If your love didn't have an endless limitation to it, and that was not endless, then you wouldn't have gotten those things. That wouldn't have upset you. That wouldn't have bothered you. But the truth of the matter is, you're human, and when you operate in the flesh, there are limitations in the flesh. Have you ever had something done to you and you thought on it and thought on it and thought on it till you had to kick it out your mind because the thoughts got darker and darker and darker? Because you have real feelings that somebody hurt sometimes. And if you're of our natural persuasion, they may have gotten on your last black nerve. And that's the nerve that says, enough is enough. Like Popeye, I've had all I can stand and I can't stand no more. And then that's when you go off. But that's when you're with love. But in love, look, his love constraineth us. It won't let us act up and act out in our love because he has submerged us and immersed us in his love. And so we are literally surrounded by the love that overpowers us. Some of your love is like, a little puddle goes that deep. Some maybe a little pond goes that deep. Maybe others a lake. Maybe that deep, maybe a stream, maybe a river. But very seldom does it get much deeper than that in the flesh. Now imagine all of those aforementioned bodies of water over and against the seas and the oceans of water. And just as the bottom to some of them cannot be measured, neither is God's love measurable. Why? Because God can't be measured. God is love. If God is love and we are in his love and deal in his love and work inside his love, then what God can do, will do, and does through us is of his unlimited and infinite ability. If God was not love, do you first of all think he could have given his son Jesus Christ to suffer everything that he has suffered by the hands of horrible men who did to him what no other man could take on earth? If he didn't have this infinite love, do you think he could leave his son on the cross and turn his back on the sin that was on his son without having turned his back on his son? You see, when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was speaking as a servant and not as a son. And so as a servant, it's like, my God, master, I did what you told me to do, and now you're turning your back on me? But see, as a son, Jesus recognized that his holy father was too reverent to look upon the sin that was on his son. And so he turned his back not on his son, but on the sin that hung on his son. And because of that, his love was so deep that he allowed his son to pay a price that none other in heaven or in earth or under the earth could pay. And that's why the Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess. Now, here's what it's saying. You can do it now, or you will do it later. No exceptions to the rule. Everybody will bow. Everybody will call him Jesus Christ, Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Listen, his love is impersoned in his son. And his son operated in his father's love in totality. And so let me just break this down again for you, because the ESV, most commentators and scholars and commentaries use the ESV rendering because it more accurately interprets the text. And of course, it was written much later than the Authorized King James Version, which is our authorized version of the Bible. But here's what I need you to understand. ESV brought it home to us so we could understand it. Let all that you do be done in love. Now, there's an acronym of the word ARM, A-R-M, because we ought to be on. Matter of fact, we should have the full armor of God on daily. Ephesians tells us. But let's look at this word again. All right. It says, let all that we do, all that we do, not somebody else does, all that we do, each individual does. Here's what you need to know. It's referencing and referring to your ambitions and your activities. What are you ambitious about? What is the motivating fact of your thoughts and that you desire? What is the gain from that? And then from that ambition always stems the activities, because whatever you're very ambitious about, you're going to pursue it. You're going to pursue. You can't say you love the Lord and you don't worship him. You don't praise him. You don't pray to him. You don't study his word. You don't live for him. You don't represent. You can't say that you are in love with God and all of those wonderful things and your ambition is to do his will. Well, listen, Jesus' ambition when he came to planet Earth was to do what the Father sent him to do. He made it clear, I must do the works of him that sent me. That was his only ambition. That was his only ambition. Now listen at this. Because that was his only ambition, he didn't have another agenda. There was nothing else that could have persuaded him to do anything else because of that primary ambition. And his activities stemmed from his ambition. I do always those things which please my Father. Let all that you do. Here brings the question, what is it that you do? Because I can tell you, your activities will reveal your ambition. See, there are some things you won't do because that ain't what you want. And see, here we've got to recognize that what we want so many times changes while we're in the midst of pursuing it. You ever heard of a change of heart? Change of mind? I mean, how many times can we look back over our lives and see because of our personal and human ambitions, we started on the journey, but we either got off the journey, detoured the journey, or gave up the journey altogether, changed our minds, went another direction, became distracted, and we deserted that ambition. See, your activities will certainly bespeak what your true ambitions are. Now it says, let all that you do be done. Here's the second part, be done, be done. This has to do with reasoning and resolutions, because the reasoning means that you take all of the faculties of your thought processes, of your intellect, and all of those things, and you reason those out together. Why am I doing this, or why am I doing that, or what is the purpose, or what is the end result of this? And for us, it is the motivating factor of love. Love, just like it's our ambition to be like Jesus, to follow Jesus, to be the express image because that's only Jesus, the express image of his Father. But we want to be so close like him that folk find it hard to tell the difference between us. We look so much like him and he look like us because they see so much of him in us that it overshadows the us that they see. They know it's God in you when you're doing the things of God. Your work speaks for you. All right. So your reasoning has to do with what are the results that you want. And when you're resolute in your resolutions, that means I made up my mind. And I ain't gonna turn around. I shall not be moved, just like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. All right, do all of those of us who do, all of the things you do, listen again, let all things, all that you do be done, be done. We have got to make sure that what we do, we don't regret. See, how many times have you regretted stuff because you didn't reason it out? You do know the heart is wicked, it's deceitful, it can fool you. People are, oh, I made that decision with my heart. Well, (laughs) See, listen. When you have reasoned it out and the Lord said, this is what I want you to do. And when you have reasoned and said, the Lord knows best, it is up to God if he gives you the assignment to give you the resources to fulfill the assignment successfully. See, but when I want to do something, God is not under warrant to back me up because I want to do my will and not his will. And so when I'm clear about whose will it is, when I'm resolute about the Father has said this to me, and listen, I bless God because God called me at 13 years old. I preached my first sermon at 14 years old. I'm 63 and still going. Only because I recognize that was God's will for my life and not my, because listen, that were many times I felt like Jeremiah. I wanted to give it up. I wanted to hang it up. I wanted to say, listen, Lord, these people are too hard. These people aren't listening to you. He said, I know that. That's why I sent you there to bear witness to the fact. And so listen, if I had been in self, and the way some folk acted and how they responded to the word and the things they did, I would have given up this thing a long time ago. But every time I got ready to turn around, when I look back, he was right there saying, look forward. Remember Lot's wife. Somebody didn't catch that. Remember Lot's wife. Don't go back. Listen. What I have for you is ahead. And then one day God gave me the revelation of this. You are responsible for telling them and not making them. When God gave me the piece of that underneath my skin, then it became incumbent upon me to make it as plain as I could, to reach as far as I could, to be like Jesus, simplistic in his sermonic attack. Attempts to reach folks so that they'd have no doubt about what he said. Whatever doubt they may have had is whether or not they wanted to do it. And that's not on me. When the mailman delivers you some bad mail, you can't get your gun and God to say, hey, come here. Your name is on it. Your address is on it, and I'm pretty sure the mailman didn't write it or he didn't send it. He just delivered him. So here is the problem. If you tried to kill the mailman, guess what? Whatever is in the letter still holds you accountable. In other words, you can't harm the one whom God sent to warn you, because the reality is, whether he's here or not, God's still gonna hold you responsible for it. And so my brothers and sisters, here's what he says in the closing. Do all those things in love. Let all that you do be done in love. In love. The question comes, how deep is your love? How far will you go? How low can you go? Can your love be unending? Your personal love? No. Is your love everlasting? No, because you're not everlasting. When you're born again and saved, you become. But you, the flesh, is not everlasting. Because one day this flesh is going to lay down and die. And that's the end of your time in this flesh on this side. So it could not be forever. Is your love patient? Like God's love is patient toward us. Is your love as